Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. And so, so beautiful, what a beautiful week of summer, this green all around us, and this blue sky and these big white puffy clouds, like a picture that you would have made in the fourth grade with your crayons and been so proud of. Pastor Liz from the Lutheran Church was gone all week, gone with a group of Lutheran teenagers that she takes up on the wilderness canoe trip up to the Boundary Waters canoe. 12 days they go up there. It's a trip that the pastor has to make every year. Her predecessor, Pastor Enquist, looked on this as a great tribulation, and he hated this trip, and she loves it. She just loves to go off with these young people. For one thing, she's got a good air mattress. And for another thing, she's not shy about moving her bowels out in the woods. One of the kids said, "Aren't you afraid that somebody's going to see you?" She said, "If somebody wants to see me, that's going to be their problem. That's not my problem whatsoever." And now she loves being with these kids, and she has this ability to become invisible so that they can be themselves. And she watches them. They're in between 13 and 18 years old. There are 14 of them on this trip, and she loves to watch them, loves to listen to them, because she wonders if she, at the age of 38, will ever have a child. She kind of is in doubt about this. She's had three boyfriends, and each one was pleasant in his own way and had some promise. Two of them were young men who just tried so hard to be appropriate, you know, and to always have the right answer. And so there was not much there to love. And then the other one was a right winger. He was an NRA member. He was a wilderness guide, and he took rich men up into the Canadian wilderness, and he charged them an arm and a leg to take them out there into the woods, because he was at home in the woods. They were not. Nils was his name. Nils. He was Norwegian. He and she took a long canoe trip up in the Boundary Waters area. And he knew his way around. He was at home there. And then they spent a week in Boston once, which was when she almost fell in love with him, because he was so needy in the big city. He desperately needed her. He was at home in the woods, but he was stranger in Boston, because he was a gunman. He needed to have a pistol on him at all times, and this makes you uneasy in a big city. So they had to drive. They couldn't fly, and he just was bothered by the voices of people all around him. He was completely helpless in Boston. It was very nice to be with him there and to lie in bed with him and to put her face into the crook of his neck and to put her arm across his chest and to breathe along with him. Breathing was really wonderful. Talking was a problem, but but breathing was good. Now they drove all the way out to Boston, and he could not even consider going to Europe, which she wanted to do, to Wales and to Ireland and to Scotland, because he couldn't be without a gun. He just couldn't. So that was out of the question. And she loves to talk about theology, and this did not interest him in the least. So Nils's religion was individualism, really. He was once a member of a militia group that would get together out in the north woods of Minnesota, and they would train in the North Woods, 40 guys in army surplus, you know, and they're running around, and they enjoy sneaking around and outmaneuvering an imaginary enemy, as we did when we were 12 years old, and talking on walkie-talkies and so forth. But in the end, he was not comfortable with the idea of people agreeing with him, as these militia people did. It just rubbed him the wrong way. Whereas he loved Liz because he knew that she was a liberal Lutheran, and it excited him to be near her and to sense her disapproval. And once he told her that he liked to imagine that she was his mother, who was a school teacher and who was always correcting him. And that's what sort of killed the romance, was that much too interesting confession. And once he told her that, then she was done with it. It was just too complicated. But she misses him now and then, especially when she goes up into the woods with these kids and they're in their canoes, because he was so at home. Nothing perplexed Nils out in the woods. He was like a deer out in the woods. He was so graceful and so quick and sort of stupid, but still, you know, smart about the things that he needed to be smart about. The first night they were out on the canoe trip, they had their first campfire, and they lit the logs, and the flames came up, and the sparks flew in the air, and the smoke drifted around, and the kids all leaned against each other. They're so sweet and so kind, and this is their favorite time of day. They complain in the morning and about the food and the canoeing and so on, but the campfire at night they love, and they sang Kumbaya, and it so moved them, so such sweet, sweet kids. Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's crying, Lord, Kumbaya. Oh, Lord, Kumbaya. And they're on the verge of tears, these sensitive children, and so she sings her verse. Someone's farting, Lord, don't come by here. Someone's farting, Lord, don't come by here. Okay, they're done now, come by here. Oh, Lord. They love to sing. They're Lutheran, especially in the dark. They just love to sing. They love to sing. Children of the Heavenly Fathers, safely in His bosom gather. Nesting bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. They love to sing in harmony. Liz went to college, and some of her teachers back then were big in the civil rights movement. They were Jewish guys from New York, and they'd gone down to Mississippi and Alabama, and they were so deeply, deeply into it. And she figured out after a while that what they loved about it was the singing. They were not lawyers. They were singers. And their parents were agnostics. And so when they got to sing We Shall Overcome and Oh Freedom and I Shall Not Be Moved, these songs, these hymns, were returning them to this tribal past that they had never known. They loved the music part of the civil rights movement. Oh, these Lutheran kids sing, and they look into the fire, and they get very sweet and very emotional. And then Liz says to them, okay, now if someone has a story and you'd like to share it with the rest of us, here is your chance. And they're a little shy. And one of them says, you tell a story. You tell a story. And they all say, yes, you tell a story. And she says, well, what would you like tonight? You want, what, the prodigal son? You want the parable of the vineyard? What do you want, the loaves and the fishes or walking on water? What? No, they say, tell us about your favorite boyfriend. The sex life of the pastor. A matter of great curiosity among Lutherans. And she thinks about Nils right away. I mean, how lean he was and how good he smelled, how clean he was. He would take a bath out in the woods twice a day. He would walk into the water, even when it was chilly. He would walk in with a bar of soap, naked, and she would walk in with him, and he would soap himself, and then he would soap her, and they would rinse off, and they would lie on the rocks in the sun, and they would dry off, and then they would make love. He's so much on her mind when she's out there in the woods with the kids. So she told the story of Nils. Edited, of course, you know. But she told how she met him in upstate New York. She was at this Episcopal convent, and she was assigned to go into town to get groceries, and she did, and this old pickup truck that the convent had broke down, and here was this man, and he fixed it. A classic story, but in this case it was true, and that was Nils. She edited out what happened after that. They went off to his campsite, and they were making out, and they got naked, and she had been with elderly, chaste women for 2 weeks who loved to meditate and to pray, and the idea of being naked with a man was so thrilling to her that she did not hesitate. She did not tell this to the children. She said that he was in the Navy. He was on a secret mission, and she made him a terrific marksman, though he was not one, and she said that they took trips together, and that much was true. And so one of the girls, she said, well, did you and him ever, you know? She said, Michelle, first of all, it's did you and he ever? And yes, we did. I won't lie to you, we did. And that's why you need to listen to me when I say, wait. And the girls went, woo! And she told how she and Nils liked to play cribbage in the nude in his tent out in the woods, and how this was kind of their substitute for conversation. And he loved Armagnac, and he could recite the poems of Robert W. Service and Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. As he paddled his canoe, he could recite Poe's The Raven and The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. He said to his friend, you know, if the British march by land or sea from the town tonight, hang a lantern loft in the belfry arch of the North Church Tower as a signal light, and so on. She told all of this story about Nils, and she told how he took rich men out into the Canadian woods to go hunting and fishing. These were tycoons, these were billionaires, these were CEOs, and when they got out into the woods, they were like little boys again, and he was their father, and they liked this, and they would, without a thought, tip him 10, 15 grand for a week in the woods. She told the truth about this, and then she didn't like where this story was going. It was leading up to the present day, and one of the kids said, so do you still think about him? And then she killed him off. She didn't want to continue the story, so she killed him off. She said, no, he died. He was on a camping trip with these men, and they were on a lake, and this bear came and attacked them and bit a man very badly, and Nils drove the bear away, and the bear went into the lake, and because the bear had tasted human blood, Nils felt that he needed to kill the bear, so he took a knife and he swam out there, and he got on the bear's back, and he plunged the knife into the bear, and the bear turned, and he wrapped his front paws around Nils. As he died, he got Nils in a bear hug, and they sank down to the bottom of the lake, and he drowned, which was all a lie, but it was a good lie, and it served the purpose, and it brought the story to an end, and these children were all in awe. They said, have you had a boyfriend since? No, she said. After Nils, there was nobody else for me. And they sat and they watched the flames die down, and they sang, abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. And they got into the tent and they fell asleep. all of the kids fell asleep, and she listened to them breathing, and she felt happy about having killed him. Oh. She loves these kids. This is her life now. She realizes that, and it's not a bad life. Not a bad life. The kids never get older. They're always 13 to 18. They're always these same sweet Lutheran kids. She has them before they go off and get arrogant and mess up their lives. She has them when they're so nice. This is her life. It's good enough. And then she fell asleep. And that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.